And so what I want to do this morning, in a few minutes left of me, is really think about holidays and what that means. And I have my suitcase with me. Oh, I know. Which, Andy, can you come and open for me? Because that'll save me some time. And it was thinking about holidays. And because you see, holidays are very scriptural. They're very biblical. And they're not a modern invention. Oh, look at that. Beautifully presented. And was beautifully presented. Holidays are very biblical. You ruin it. Does everybody realize Jesus actually went on holidays? You're rather taking over the show. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7 if you have a Bible and get your phone out, whatever you're using. Matthew chapter 7. We read the story of one of Jesus's breaks. I was brought up with the impression that Jesus, basically, he had his 40 days in the wilderness doing fasting and stuff, and then after that, he was really, really busy for 2.5 years, and then he died. That was the kind of impression that it got, you know. It was kind of, but actually, Jesus didn't live like that. Jesus took his own father's advice and had rests and Sabbaths and holidays. And in Mark chapter 7, we read about one such holiday. It comes after, according to the commentators, this story comes after one of Jesus's biggest miracles. You know when Jesus fed the 5,000 men, and then the women showed 5,000 men. And as all the girls in the house know, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. Hey, can we have a bit more audio? The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. It's through his stomach. And Jesus had done this, and so he got 5,000 men alike. He can do miracles, he can heal people, he can teach you well, and he can feed me. And the commentator said Jesus was really struggling to get any space in his life. And so he took his closest disciples and they basically went on holiday. Mark 7 verse 24, it says this, Mark writes. Sorry. It is in Matthew chapter 15, but it's slightly different. Mark chapter 7 verse 24 says this. Jesus left that place where he'd just done the miracle and went into the vicinity of Tyre, probably we think about 30 miles north-ish from Lake Galilee. Now, remember, there wasn't any cars. So this was a good couple of days walk or a good day's horse ride, like a very good day's horse ride. He'd gone a long way, long enough away so that most people wouldn't go after him because it'd be too much for them. So it'd take him 2 days to walk there and 2 days to walk back. So he'd gone away. And then it says this, he entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Why? Because he was on holiday. And he was on a break. He's a son of God, but he's on holiday. Yet he could not keep his presence secret. I.e. who he was came out. In fact, soon people heard about him, and a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syria, Phoenicia, and she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. And Jesus said, but look, I'm on holiday. I'm kind of having a rest. My mission's to the Jews, not to anybody else, and so I've left Judea because I'm now on holiday. I mean, it doesn't quite say that, but this is kind of what it says. He said, first let the children eat all they want, i.e. the Jews, and for it's not right to take the children's bread and toss. Hey, it's not the plan yet to reach out to you. That's coming. That's Acts. But Acts hasn't arrived yet. I'm on holiday. And they said, yes, Lord, you replied, but even the dogs under the table. She says, I know you're on holiday, but you're still the Son of God, so can you do something about it, please? That's basically what she said. I know you're having a break, but can you please do something about it? My daughter's really, really sick, and she needs healing. Can you do something? And then he told her, for such a reply you may go, the demon has left your daughter. So she went home and found her child lying on a bed, and the demon gone. Hold that thought about, even though Jesus was on holiday, he still did something because he's still the Son of God. You see, holidays for us are really, really important as people to have a rest and also to the Carter household because we like our holidays. And I thought I'd bring an illustration for you as I talk about holidays, hopefully all day. So, when you set off on holiday, do you do what we do? So you've packed your suitcases, you pack the car, and you sat there, we've got three children, with the children in the back, and then you say these words, Have we forgotten anything? Do you say that? Have we forgotten anything? And I always think, well, I don't think so, because if we remembered, we wouldn't have forgotten it, would we? Because really, but we did the same before we set off to Hillsong. We got in the car and we looked at it, have we forgotten anything? No, we don't think we've forgotten anything. Now, and then we go through our list. Do you have a list? List of essential things that we better not forget, otherwise we'd be in trouble. And these are our top four. I'm not saying they need to be your top four, I'm just saying these are top. Obviously, not to Hillsong, but we like going abroad. First is, number one, is the passport. Passports are really important for getting to other countries. And most importantly, coming home again. If you don't have your passport and you're stuck in a foreign country, you're in big trouble. And I have a story about that in a second. So that's that. And then after that, we go, have we got a credit card or two? Are we resourced? I've got some credit cards in there. And because, you know, if everything else fails and we've forgotten something, we can buy it, right? As long as we have a credit card, we have some resource, we have some kind of money we can draw down, we can fix the problem with some cash. Passport. Now we're looking fairly good. We have a passport, cash. So wouldn't mind having, we can pay our way out. And then we say, have we got the tickets? Now, these are train tickets, I know, but I couldn't find any. Airline tickets are rubbish these days, aren't they? All you get is an email. So it's not much. So tickets, these are like tickets. And have we got some tickets? Got some tickets. And then finally, a map. Passport, credit cards, tickets, a map. So we know what we're doing once we get there. And I want to suggest in our Christian life that we need the same. That we need the same. We were a... I love telling this story. It's a great story. And if I told you before, my apologies. It's so good. I've told you before. So, quite a few years ago, when we first came to know Pastor Biju and Vision Rescue, me and Dave went on a trip with one or two other people to India to, you know, scan out the scene type thing. And we went in one of the Vision Rescue buses, and they'd taken it onto this slum, quite a big slum. In the middle was a... It wasn't a square. It was a piece of wasteland about the size of half a football pitch. Can you get that? Size half a football pitch. So fairly big. And they drove the bus on, and then what they do is the children come to the bus that they're already primed, and they come on the team, they teach them, and they teach them maths and some Hindi and some of the bits and pieces. And we kind of stood at the back, and you interact a bit with the children and try to look cool or whatever. And then after they've done that... and this is the reason why the children come, is they feed all the children, they have a good meal. And so they're having a good meal. We'd had ours, it was curry. It's always curry. It's always curry, isn't it, Dave? Everywhere's curry in India. So it's curry, they have a curry, another curry. That trip, we had so many curries. We had a curry. And then after that, the children were still finished off, and we went wandering off, as you do. In the middle of an Indian slum in a place you don't know. And so we wandered off, and the bus was in kind of one corner, and we kind of wandered off into the other corner. Some of the children had recognized the bus, and they came up, and they gave us their kite. And their kite was really flimsy. It was made of sticks and a bit of plastic bag, and then the string was bits of string they'd found tied together. But it was a big piece of string, and they were encouraged, and it went up and up and up. I was really quite scared of losing their precious kite, because... they probably didn't have another one, and it was up there. I got it down safely, so I was fine. But while I was pulling the kite down, out of my car, right, we spotted coming up the track that we'd come up before on the bus, two Jeeps. But these weren't any ordinary Jeeps. These were police Jeeps. And they weren't just any ordinary police Jeeps. These were specially armed police Jeeps with machine guns and things like that. And when they got there, they jumped off and went, looked at us two, like stared at it, like properly stared and kept staring at us. They didn't come directly across to us. They wandered and talked to the Vision Rescue people, but they were obviously talking about us. And I said to Dave, good job we have our passports in our pockets, and then they know who we are. And at which point Dave said, oh something, I've left my passport in the bedroom. In the hotel. And I went, oh dear, Dave. what happens if they come across and you haven't got your passport? I said, you'll go to jail because you don't have it. Because as a foreigner, you're supposed to have your passport on you at all times in India, you see. And I said, you'll go to jail. And Indian jails are really horrible. And David said, this isn't very funny yet. I said, no, but it is to me. It's very funny. All the looking at his day. I think they're coming, Dave. You haven't got your passport. And he went a little shade of white. And the story gets better every time it gets told, doesn't it, Dave? Anyway, the Vision Rescue people sorted it all. I didn't really want Dave to go to jail. I mean, it would have been a great story, for sure. If Dave had gone to jail, it would have been a great story. But he didn't have his passport on it, so he's really important. Anyway, the Vision Rescue guys sorted it all out, and we wandered back across and discovered that they were looking for some drug runners, some white-skinned drug runners, and they presumed that was us. I guess we looked a bit dodgy. Anyway, so, but it was fine then. It was okay. But having a passport is really important. And I want to suggest to you this morning this thought, that we as Christians need to have our passports in our pockets at all times. We need to have our passports in our pockets at all times. If you can remember, the Old Testament Jews were instructed by God to do certain things to remind themselves of who they were and who God was every day of their lives. I mean, you still see Jews with those funny little hats on, yeah? What do they call those funny little hats? I should have looked it up beforehand. They're called what? Kippur. Thank you. And they were instructed to tie Bible verses on them and have tassels and bells and all sorts of things to remind them. They weren't supposed to be a fashion accessory, which is, I suggest, for many Jews they probably have become now. They just wear them because they wear them. That wasn't the idea. The idea was to remind them of who they were and who God was in their life. That was the whole point. And when I was in India with my passport in, I could feel it in my pocket and I knew who I was and where I come from. And I think as Christians, we need to, metaphorically as it were, have our passports in our pockets at all times for three reasons. The first reason is this. It tells you where you have come from, or perhaps better put, whose kingdom you're part of. You see, this passport tells me that I am part of the United Kingdom, which is an amazing kingdom headed up by our queen, scattered with territories all across the world. And this is respected almost across the entire world as an amazing passport to have, because you can get almost anywhere in the world with this thing and with a few visas and stuff. Why? Because this is a great passport. And we as Christians need to have our passports in our pockets, remembering which kingdom we're from, which kingdom that we belong to. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, says these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says this. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. This is your passport, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to remember who you are in God. And now, these things are really quite expensive. I don't know, they seem to go up every year another 10 or 15 pounds. They're really quite expensive. And our passport to get into the kingdom of God is incredibly expensive. It's why Jesus died. Jesus died so you could have a passport and become part of the kingdom of God. It's very expensive. But for you and me, it's actually free. It's free. And there's no forms to fill in. There's no long process. You don't need to wait 6 weeks or 2 months or 6 months or however long. You don't need to wait. You can become part of the kingdom of God immediately. All you have to decide is this. It really is this simple. You have to decide that you're happy to have Jesus as your king in your life. And you're willing to follow him. That's it. It's no more complicated than that. It's based on, are you happy to have Jesus as king in your life? if you are and you're willing to follow him, you can, in one sense, you can pick up a Christian passport on the desk on the way out. I mean, it'll change your life forever, for sure. But it is actually, it's free. It's yours if you'd like it. And I want to suggest to each one of us who is already Christian that we need to carry this thing in our pocket all the time. All the time. And remember whose kingdom we are part of. The second thing it does is this. It tells us or informs us that we are returning home someday. So when me and Dave were in India, you know, we knew passport that one day we were going to use this to get back home, back to the UK, back to England, back to our safe homes and our safe houses without worrying about jail anymore. We were going to get home again. If when we have our passport, it reminds us that one day we're going home. Or it reminds us that we're not at home where we are. It means that we don't get too settled where we are as people of God because we have the passport in our pocket reminding us that one day we're going to leave this temporary state and enter the permanent state, which is living with God in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the second reason to make sure that we have our passport in our pocket. Hebrews 13, verse 14 talks about that there is a city waiting for us. Jesus says, doesn't he, in John 14, that he's gone to prepare a place for us, which has many rooms and mansions. And he mentions early in the Sermon on the Mount that we should be storing up treasure for ourselves in the permanent place where rust and thieves, where it doesn't rust, where thieves can't rob it. And that's what we should be focused on. But I think we need to have our passport in our pocket so we don't forget. Because I don't know about you, I find it really easy to forget that this is temporary and one day I'll be living in a more permanent thing. And the other thing about having your passport in your pocket is whatever you're going through in life, you know it's not going to last forever. I don't know about you, some of my life is amazing, it's incredible, it's wow, wonderful. Other bits are really horrible and stinky and I want to get over them. And if you have your passport in your pocket, you remember in those tough days, perhaps going through illness or bereavement or just really hard times, you can say, well, actually, this is temporary. I have my passport one day. I'm leaving this place and I'm going to go to a perfect place called heaven to be with Jesus. But if you don't have your passport in your pocket, you forget. And what is temporary becomes permanent in your head and takes you down paths and routes in your mind that you don't need to go because you have your passport. And you know that one day you'll leave this season behind in your life. I was trying to think of a bad holiday experience to share with you, but I actually couldn't remember any. I know. I'm quite happy. You've got one. Jonathan, would you like to come to the stage and share a bad holiday experience with us? This is Jonathan, my son, who's really scared of the stage and the microphone, as you can tell.
Well, there was this this one day when we were in America, and and Dad just had an amazing day. It was incredible. So we woke up in the morning, and Dad was like, you know what? I stink a bit. I need a bath. So he went down to have a bath, and so he turned the tap on like you do to run a bath, and then the water started coming out, not just of the bath, but from the sink, from the washing up machine outside, from the other sink in the basement, and he wasn't very well dressed, obviously, because he was in a bath, and so he gets up like, oh my gosh, oh I didn't mention this, but we're actually in the Bishop of the Free Methodist Church's house, so this is his house that we're in at the moment, and so he's wandering around like, oh poo, there's water everywhere, comes upstairs.
It was clean water, there's no poo.
There wasn't poo in it. Came upstairs and was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I need a bucket, just give me something. And then Abby, being the amazing girl that she is.
That was mummy's fault.
Well, she says, but I'm not sure it was. So Abby, being the amazing girl she is, goes and gets this bucket, right? But it's a bucket they use, you know, to drain spaghetti. It's called a colander.
Colander, yes.
And it's not very helpful for getting lots of water up, really. He gives it to Dad, like, here you go, Dad. So anyway, that's get sorted. Yeah, and then
we'd already got locked out of the house.
Yeah, so then Dad crashed the car.
Let's give a big hand for Jonathan. Amazing. I'll have the microphone back. Thank you. Oh, my children are growing up. Anyway. It was just a bad day. I really enjoyed the break. So anyway, but the point is you should have a passport in a pocket to remember it's temporary and it's not forever. And I think if you're going through a situation, a season now, you need to put your Christian passport back in your pocket so you remember that one day the season will pass. It really will, and life will be okay. The third reason is this. It reminds you of whose kingdom you represent. It reminds you of whose kingdom you represent. You see, Jesus went on holiday, but he was still the Son of God. He still represented God on earth, even though he was on holiday, he was having a break from the crowds. And I want to remind each and every person in this room who calls themselves a Christ follower, when you go away, wherever you are still an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, verse 20 and 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, both call us ambassadors of Jesus Christ, God's representatives on earth. And I want to remind each one of us, encourage each one, to remember with our passport in our pocket that we are always ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We need to watch what we say and how we say it. We need to watch what we do and how we do it. We need to watch where we go and who we go with in every stage of life. Why? Because there's a world watching, because you and I are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And if you have your passport in your pocket, you remember who you are and why you are there. Because it's really easy to forget, especially when you're on holiday and doing something else. You see, when I went to America, which is where I was, it made me realize, because we were there for a long time, that wherever we went, we were Christ ambassadors, because we were English, and everybody asked us who we were and what we were doing. And it also reminded and challenged me to be that person that I needed to be everywhere I went. Before I went to America, I was a northerner, right? Do you know, going to cafes and restaurants, you're supposed to tip? Yeah? Supposed to tip. I was like, tip. I paid for the meal. I gave them the proper amount of money. Why should I tip? You go to America. Those of you who've been to America, if you don't give them 20%, they look at you like, wow, you're evil. Seriously, no, they really do. In fact, some will come to you and say, you haven't tipped. Because it's compulsory, really. So was it 20%? Unless you've done really, really bad, you give them 10. Or if you've done really well, you give them like 25 or 30% of the bill. Yeah, I know. And I was nervous, like, you're kidding me. That's really expensive. But that's what they do. And it broke my ungenerosity in life. You see, I believe this. Every Christian should bring the presence of heaven where they go and leave a piece of heaven once they've gone. Every Christian should bring the presence of heaven when they come and leave a piece of heaven when they go. And ever since that trip, I try and do a couple of things wherever I go. The first one is I try and make people smile. I try and make them laugh. Somehow, a waitress, a shop assistant, I try and make them smile. I want to somehow let them think, well, I'm glad I met him today. I don't know who he is, don't know where he comes from, but that was fun. That was joyful. There was something great in that moment when I met that person. He's a bit old, he's a bit bold, he's a bit less fat than he was, but he's still a bit overweight. But still, I enjoyed that encounter with him. And the other thing I try and do in restaurants is I try and tip every time. I try and, so the waitress goes like, wow, thank you. Rather than, man, he was stingy. Because I want to bring the presence of heaven into their life. And I want to leave them a gift that when they go away, that they might possibly be able to look at it and go like, I'm not sure what this thing is that person just left in my heart, in my soul, in my thinking. But it's good. It's a really nice gift from, they don't know it's from heaven, but it's not really from me. It's from God to them. And that's what I want to leave with them. And church, I know some of you already been on holiday and some of you aren't going on holiday. But it doesn't matter whether you're on holiday or whether you're at work, whether you're at home. I want to say, hey, let's leave our passports in our pockets Every single, and so that when we come in, we remember that we are an ambassador of Jesus Christ, and it's our job to bring the presence of heaven into that situation. And when we've gone, for them all to go, oh, they've gone, but we have left something in them that will, even if it doesn't change their life, then in the future they'll go, I need to find out what that thing was that they left in my hand when they won, when they left me, and I want to go and find out what it is. And so, church, I'm totally out of time, but I want to encourage you. I want, with all my heart, I know you don't have a passport like this that Jesus gives you, but metaphorically speaking, somehow, to take your Christian passport, your passport to heaven, and stick it in your pocket every day of your life, and to be the ambassador, to be that presence of heaven, to leave a piece of heaven wherever you go. And I am absolutely convinced that your life and the life of the people around you will be transformed if you can begin to live like that in Jesus' name.